Welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller Podcast for November 19th, 2019, Tuesday. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening, downloading, and all that good stuff. Tell a friend today, won't you? I appreciate that. Word of mouth is our advertising, and you are our advertising agency. Thank you. The pay sucks. I admit, the pay sucks. But you help spread the word, and that's all I can ask for. Got an action-packed show for you today, and just for the interest, in the interest of contests, I am holding in my hands right now, flipping through the pages, making sure it is in fact signed, and it is in fact signed. Jerome Hudson's book, 50 Things They Don't Want You to Know. We have, I have two signed copies I'm going to give away this Friday. And if you want to win one, all you have to do is email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. It's just that simple. It's just that easy. Everybody plays, everybody wins, except for the people who don't win. They don't win, and the winners win. There will be two. I can announce now today who the guest for Friday is going to be, simply because I've already recorded the interview, so there's no possibility of jinxing it. Unless, of course, somehow the file gets deleted over in the offices, in which case I will never again announce a single guest. But I think I'm relatively secure in announcing who it is, and that technical issues will not stop it. It is Rich Lowry of the National Review. He's the big honcho over there, the boss man over at National Review. He happened to be in town. He's got a new book, The Case for Nationalism, how it made us powerful, united, and free. I will have some signed copies of that for probably not next week because it's Thanksgiving, and that would just be a really short week. But it'll start next week, and it'll bleed into the following week. Finding a guest on Thanksgiving week is going to be tough, and I suspect I'm probably just going to do a best of, because that's just how it's going to be. It's Thanksgiving, for God's sakes. Everybody gets to eat turkey and watch the Detroit Lions humiliate themselves on national television. What more do you want out of a week? So, yeah, that is coming Friday. We had a good long talk. Really enjoyed the conversation, and I think you will too. We talked not only about his book, but we talked about the larger conservative movement in general, the never Trump, always Trump dichotomy in the Republican Party. You're going to like it, or you're going to get mad. One of the two. You will not be passionately indifferent toward it, whatever the case. So make sure you download Friday's program as well. Well, just subscribe. It takes care of all of it. All right. We're going to talk about Fartgate. We're going to talk about, you know, when I started this podcast, this is actually episode 400, by the way. I just remembered that. I don't know if that counts best of, so it might not be like the 400th original one, even though every, even best of, has original content. But this is number 400 because I started numbering them so I could keep track of them and not upload the wrong one, which apparently I did once. So, you know, hey, when you're a one-man show, you screw up, you still blame the cats. That's my policy here, and I'm sticking to it. But yeah, 400 episodes, which isn't really much of a milestone. I guess it's a round number, but 500 is, and 100 are 250. A case could be made. 1,000, yeah, but 400, it's a round number. So there you go. I mean, if you hit 400 in baseball, you're doing great. If you hit 400 in a podcast, who knows? Anyway, congratulations to me. No kids playing in the background of today's episode. They're all in bed. The older one missed her nap today, or didn't nap, and I looked over and she was just asleep on the floor. So, like, carried her up and threw her in bed. So she will, whoever the person was who wrote the review on iTunes about, I'm so distracted by all the noise. You won't be distracted by the noise today unless you have dog ears and can hear the aquarium water bubbling in the distance, which is entirely possible, or a cat could meow. So it won't be completely distraction free, but it will be kid distraction free. I say that and now she'll wake up. But anyway, knock on wood. All right, let's get into the deal. First, a word from our sponsor. And look, you've heard me talk about CBD oil from Ancient Life Oil. for a while now, ancientlifeoil.com, and you're probably sick of me hearing me about it. You're sitting there and you're going, this is pseudoscience, this is junk science. Derek, what are you doing? You're better than this. No, I'm telling you, I use the stuff and it makes a huge difference. I was as skeptical as anybody. I'm skeptical about everything. I look at the clock and think, what are you trying to pull? And I tried this stuff because I try everything. And I was like, you know what? That's weird. My eye strain is gone. My knees feel better. I ain't got bad knees. The whole family has bad knees. It just runs in the family. What doesn't run in the family is running, because we're the slowest people on the planet. Yesterday was my sister's birthday, my oldest sister's birthday. We talked about how slow we run. And she said, well, we always hit the ball far enough where we didn't have to run. And that's true. But now I feel like I could. My knees are feeling better. My joints don't ache. I was not a believer in CBD oil. Now I am. But I encourage you to find out for yourself. Just search any and go in any search engine. Type in CBD oil benefits. Look it up. Read some reviews, read some of the testimonials, see what other people are saying. If you think that I'm a shill, what are they all? I guarantee you we're not all shills. There's something to this. CBD oil makes a difference, and the best CBD oil out there is from ancientlifeoil.com. Just go to ancientlifeoil.com. Check it out. I really do use the chocolate mint flavor. Few drops under the tongue every day, and I'm good to go. It's not psychoactive. It's not going to get you high. It's not loaded with THC. Sorry, stoners. You're going to have to go to California for that. But if you're looking to help your body to feel better, try CBD oil. Just try it once. What have you got to lose? AncientLifeOil.com. Use the promo code Derek at checkout and you save 10%. 10% right off the top. You can't beat that, and you'll be a believer too. I guarantee it. It's amazing. What it does, I don't know how it does it, but it does it, and it does it well. CBD oil from AncientLifeOil.com. Okay. Normally, I don't like to start the show with gas. I don't actually enjoy doing the show with gas at all. But Gasgate, Fartgate, which is the number one trending thing on Twitter in the last night. And you think, what is going on? Fartgate? What is this? This is the end of Western civilization, is it not? Well, perhaps. But at least we'll be able to go out laughing. Eric Swalwell, remember him? Not a particularly bright guy. You kind of feel bad for him. He's the one who said that the president firing ambassadors for any reason was an impeachable offense. The poor, poor bastard. You get embarrassed watching some people, even people you don't know, do things. You're just like, oh, geez, it's hard to watch. It's so embarrassing. Eric Swalwell lives in that place in people's heads, and yesterday was no different. He had set up his, a studio apartment, in this space that occupies the, oh, geez, part of our brain, and he's not moving out anytime soon. Although I will say that there could be another suspect in this. But what is this that I'm talking about? If you weren't active on social media last night, if you weren't online, if you are one of those crazy people, one of those weirdos out there with a life that go to bed at a normal time or something crazy like that, you might not know what Fartgate is. Well, the Fartpocalypse occurred on Hardball with Chris Matthews. I know. I was surprised to find out the show was still on the air as well. Eric Swalwell was on there because the test pattern was unavailable. And Chris Matthews is talking to Eric Swalwell about impeachment. As always, Eric Swalwell, they send him out there. They let him say incredibly stupid things. If anybody says anything about it, they say, well, it's Eric Swalwell. What do you expect? And they let it slide. But to the unsuspecting public who just happened to catch Eric Swalwell clips, they don't know any better. And they might take the man seriously. Or at least they would have before last night. Chris Matthews asking a question of Eric Swalwell, and Eric Swalwell answering it. Now I'm going to play the question and the setup. It's a short clip. But I do this with the knowledge and the warning to you that any words that you hear are inconsequential. They are irrelevant. They matter not one whit. I will not be commenting on any of the words that you hear Chris Matthews or Eric Swalwell say. Don't pay attention to them. It's the in-between moments, the pauses, one pause in particular about which I will pontificate and speculate. Because it's getting towards a holiday. The impeachment hearing starts up again today. They've got a parade of people coming in. Maybe somebody with firsthand information. Who knows? Doubtful, but who knows? But we can have a little fun, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, I present to you Eric Swalwell and Chris Matthews in Fartgate.
I've counted at least five people testifying this week who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have any...
Did you catch it? Did you hear it? Now, just in case you didn't, here is an isolation of just the seconds leading up to it and the seconds following it.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
Now, I know you didn't miss it there. Because Eric Swalwell, was he farting? Did he fart? Is that a fart? There's a lot of controversy around this. And yes, you're sitting there. I know some of you are going to go, nobody need to hear about this. This is ridiculous. There's important stuff to go on. Lighten up, Francis. We can have fun at the same time. Plus, I think a congressional investigation needs to be launched. This is a serious matter, and the parties involved are denying it. Denying it. There are people who are involved in the, Eric Swalwell said he wasn't, it wasn't me. I didn't fart. It was not me. I don't know. I didn't even hear it at the time, he claims, which makes it a little suspicious. But what makes it even more suspicious, that makes me think that it was Eric Swalwell, is the little pause that he says. It's like somebody talking and then they just go on. They don't miss a beat. If it was anything other than Eric Swalwell farting, it was the most perfectly timed moment in television history since the Oswald prison transfer, where the camera was set up. I mean, you could not have a better... That's rude, and I shouldn't joke about those things, but come on, have you seen anything more choreographed outside of Broadway? But Eric Swalwell was asked about this, not on the air. I think you don't just say, can you imagine if Chris Matthews hears that and he goes, Congressman Swalwell, did you just fart? That would have been too good. That would have been better than the Beatles on Ed Sullivan good. But a reporter for BuzzFeed actually sent a text to Congressman Swalwell and he denied that it was him, which it's tough to believe. I mean, Eric Swalwell is not a particularly honest person. He's also not a particularly bright person, so there was a possibility that he would have forgotten that it was him. But there's also another possibility that I think is being overlooked in this as it trends worldwide on social media. Chris Matthews is a rather gassy fellow. He just look at him. You don't... Nobody needs to tell you that. You just look at Chris Matthews and you think, I don't want to be stuck in an elevator with him for a prolonged period of time. It could go off at any moment. So it could have been him. It sounded as though the gaseous expulsion was mic'd, which, again, could mean either one of these men, because when you're putting a microphone on somebody who's about to appear on television, you want to put it relatively close to the mouth so it has a chance to pick up what's being said. And for both of these men, their mouths are, as most people's are, firmly affixed to their heads. However, where they deviate from the norm is the location of their heads is most often up their own backsides. just a scientific fact. I'm not making this up. So there is a possibility that a microphone was in the general region because of logistical reasons. You never know out of which end either one of these men is going to speak. Now, as this controversy grew, and believe me, people left and right were tweeting about this because the video is absolutely hilarious, and Eric Swalwell really does just kind of stop, and he has this look of, like, hunkering down right at the moment you hear the noise. You know, it's like that kind of moment, that, but without the being audible. The look on his face, the breath, and that he just seems like he's pushing. And then he goes right on with what he was saying. Well, Hardball, official Twitter account, originally tweeted out a picture of, I don't know if you've ever seen this. If you're on social media, you've seen this. If you have better things to do than social media, you probably hate this whole segment. But you're a better person for not being on social media. There's a meme going around of a cartoon panel. Maybe it's a screen capture from an old cartoon episode of Spider-Man, I don't know, or it's a panel from an old Spider-Man comic book where one Spider-Man, there are two Spider-Men in it, and they're identical, and they're both pointing at each other like, hey, it's you, or it's you, you're a fake, no, you're a fake. They both have that look. Hardball originally tweeted that out without comment, as if to say, as after to participate in the joke and participate in the fun. Like, who, you farted? No, you farted. That was kind of the joke. Well, it's highly likely that Chris Matthews didn't appreciate that very much after it was explained to him, no doubt. Not the farting noise, but the joke. He just doesn't seem like a particularly joyful individual. But they deleted that tweet because you're not allowed to have fun at MSNBC. They are the Joyless Impeachment Network. Later on, however, about 4 or 5 hours after that, Hardball then tweeted out an attempted explanation, shall we say. They say, quote, sorry to disappoint the conspiracy theorists. It was the Hardball mug scraping across the desk. Get yours today, blah, blah, blah. Here is a link to buy the official Hardball mug. I want to play that again with that in mind. And I want you to listen very closely and tell me if you think that this is the sound of a mug being dragged across a clear, smooth desk, somehow making this noise. I'll just play the short version.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
Could that be a mug? Theoretically, sure. Again, I can't note the timing enough of just how Eric Swalwell appears to stop and go... Could be a mug. Absolutely could be a mug. It doesn't sound, I don't think it's a mug. I think somebody passed gas, and I think it took them 4 to 5 hours to come up with the, hey, we'll say it's a mug thing, and maybe we can sell some mugs. We can move some mugs instead of moving our bowels. Let's do that. He should really drink Life Change tea. Clean him right out. Won't have that problem. But I just love this story. I absolutely love this story that everybody on Twitter, all the fun people, are tweeting about who farted. Was it Eric Swalwell or Chris Matthews? Most people think it was Swalwell because of the perfect timing. Swalwell says it wasn't him. History would lead me to believe that it could easily be Chris Matthews. And the show itself is saying it was a coffee mug. I prefer to think of it not being a coffee. You know, if you'd have said, you know what, there's leather chairs and Chris was shuffling and that's what was heard, that would be kind of believable. It was a shoe across a leather chair. That would be believable. A shoe on the ground would be more believable than a coffee mug sliding across the smooth surfaced, I think it's glass, table. Maybe it's wood. Table at Hardball. I don't drink coffee. I don't use coffee mugs. I don't even like when I appear on TV or go on something when they give you the water in the coffee mug. I don't like it. It tastes different to me. It's just weird. I don't know why. Probably just me, but so be it. So we may never know who the true farter was, But some people have suggested that there was a second farter up on a gassy knoll. So you have this... My stupid Apple Watch just keeps randomly picking up things. I got to take it off because Siri just comes to life. So who was the farter? We don't know. But that Eric Swalwell said he didn't even hear the noise, that's a little bit weird, because everything that happens when you're on television goes through your little IFB into your ear. Plus, there's the rule of whoever denied it supplied it. Again, I don't think Chris Matthews has been reached for comment. Perhaps he's intoxicated. Perhaps he's in a shame spiral. Perhaps he should be intoxicated. Somebody out there is a farter, and the Twitterverse will get to the bottom of it. Okay, well, not the bottom. I mean, nobody wants to be at the bottom of it, but, you know, the root of it. All right, in other news, this is kind of disappointing. The liberal mob is relentless. They never, ever stop. And oftentimes you see companies in particular try and placate the liberal mob. Oh, they might be satiated for a moment when they get somebody fired or something like that. They go out and congratulate themselves and have a nice tofu cube and a colonic or something like that. However they celebrate, I don't claim to understand, but I'm not judging. But whatever it is, they're always coming back for more. They never are satisfied. They never have enough. It's not just in policy. It's in protests. It's in everything. Well, they've got themselves another capitulator, another attempted appeaser. CNBC has the report, but it's everywhere. Chick-fil-A no longer donates to controversial Christian charities after LGBTQ protest. Christian charities. Now, the entire marketing gimmick of Chick-fil-A, aside from their chicken sandwiches and what I think is a really bad marketing ploy, the cows saying eat more illiterate cows. They got letters reversed. They've dropped letters. You know, if cows could write, I think they would have better English than the Chick-fil-A cows. But that's their marketing image, is they are a Christian company. They will not open on Sundays. They're not interested in that. On the seventh day, the Lord rested, and so shall the chicken sandwich guys. That's fine. It's their business. They're free to do whatever they want. And every other time that Chick-fil-A has been under fire, conservatives have rallied to their cause. I can't tell you how many Chick-fil-A sandwiches I've eaten over the years in Washington, D.C. when I was a young, broke research assistant or bookstore attendant at the Heritage Foundation, because they would bring the stuff in, order it for public events, and just pile it up there. And those little foil pouches and everything, they keep the sandwiches warm for a very long time. The pickle on the chicken sandwich was genius. Whoever came up with that was right on the mark. But you just shovel these things in, then you regret it afterwards, but you shovel them in because they're tasty and they're free. Well, occasionally you go out there, you know, the conservative right has, I've eaten way more chicken sandwiches for free from Chick-fil-A than I have probably chicken that I've purchased anywhere else, including the grocery store. And I had chicken last night for dinner, so that tells you something. Have this situation where the right has always rallied around Chick-fil-A and a religious liberty perspective. And religious liberty is incredibly important in this country, and it should be important in this world. It's becoming less important. It's becoming more and more attacked in this world and in this country because of our friends on the left. So whenever Chick-fil-A is under protest, and they've been under protest a lot by the left, their sales have gone up because conservatives rallied to them. You know, I'm not gonna let you take down this company just because they happen to be run by Christians and adhere to Christian beliefs. That is not hate. And to hell with you, I'm going there out of spite. And I have eaten at Chick-fil-A more out of spite than desire. to be perfectly honest with you, when I'm going to a Chick-fil-A restaurant, it's more like, yeah, you know what? Those guys are going nuts. I'm going in there. Well, I think that's about to end. I think Chick-fil-A could be in for a little bit of trouble. The story, again, from CNBC, the story itself, Chick-fil-A said Monday that it has stopped funding two Christian charities after coming under fire in recent week from LGBTQ activists. Has there been a week in the past 5 years that Chick-fil-A hasn't been under fire by, as Dave Chappelle calls them, the alphabet people? Has there been one? Can you think of one? Because I sure as hell can't. This is where it gets even worse. The Fast Food Chains Foundation has donated millions of dollars to the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Both organizations have a history of opposing same-sex marriage. Now, opposing same-sex marriage, you got to love the semantics here. Because it used to be, you know, you support traditional marriage, and being pro-life used to be described as pro-life. Now, thanks to the AP style book in the New York Times, it is described as being anti-choice or anti-abortion, mostly anti-choice. It's a semantical change, technically means the same thing, but it registers differently in the brain, especially to the passive observer. Being pro-life, of course, who isn't pro-life? Life is great. Yes, you've got all those George Michael videos when he was in Wham! Talking about choose life. Well, the left was losing the argument then because the difference was you're either pro-choice or you're pro-life. Well, choice being the euphemism there for not life. People said, I want to be pro-life. And then they thought about what abortion is and what abortion does. And they said, you know what? Life. I choose life. Life is good. So then the left, who dictates what is allowed to be said and how things are allowed to be said, changed the language to being, you know, anti-choice. You're anti-choice. We are pro-choice. You are anti-choice. It is caveman in its simplicity, but its effectiveness in marketing cannot be overstated. It is not that the left is winning the battle of ideas and changing minds. They are using very skilled manipulation tools to advance what they want. The same is being used in the issue of religious liberty. If you believe in traditional marriage, you could have, look, there's no problem with gay civil unions, but marriage should mean what marriage has always meant. For whatever reason you get to that, that is now being spun as anti-same-sex marriage. You're opposing same-sex marriage. The other side, well, they're pro-marriage. They love marriage. They want marriage for everybody and everything. And the other side is opposing same-sex marriage, which is, again, if you're opposing it, why do you hate? You hate these people? Is it because you hate gay people? Is that what's really going on here? When in reality, most people do not hate gay people. They just don't like to see political convenience rewriting their dictionary, political whims of the moment, rewriting the dictionary every couple of years. And they also happen to believe in God and the teachings of the Bible. And their version of the teachings of the Bible, the interpretation of the Bible, or the literal interpretation of the Bible, or whatever it means to you, says that marriage is between a man and a woman because it is for the purposes of procreation. Creation and any other configuration is yet biologically impossible. That is now being considered a hateful position, which is absurd, which is its own form of bigotry. Well, Chick-fil-A decided to cave to this. Now, what I find really just, I don't know much about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but I imagine it has to do with Christian athletes and helping support their training. And that's enough. I don't need to do any more research on them because I'm flabbergasted, which is a word I don't use very often, but used for effect. I am flabbergasted that the Salvation Army is listed here. The Salvation Army, it's a Christian organization, and they do, I mean, it's the season. Soon the Santas will be showing up outside of stores everywhere, ringing that bell, and people will be giving them money for the good works that the Salvation Army does. I also shopped almost exclusively throughout high school in Salvation Armies because it was about all I could afford. And it was tough because being 6 foot five and being having a longer wingspan than somebody who's, I should have a wingspan of somebody who should be 6 foot seven. Thank God I'm not that. I was slim pickings. But I love the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army does great work. Not only do they offer resale clothing to people who can't afford new clothing for a reasonable price, a very inexpensive price, they use the money that they get from that to help the homeless. They help people. They feed the homeless. They have soup kitchens, things like that. Yet they are boiled down to one particular issue because of political convenience and lumped in as just homophobic groups that oppose same-sex marriage. Chick-fil-A, CNBC report, said it no longer funds the organizations. Isn't that lovely? Now they're moving on. They say that they're going to fund organizations that, quote, deal with education, homelessness, and hunger. Again, what does the Salvation Army do? I don't know what the Fellowship of Christian Athletes does. I suspect, again, that it has to do with helping Christian athletes pursue their athletic dreams, probably an Olympic level or something like that, or in an amateur level, whatever. But the Salvation Army does exactly what Chick-fil-A is saying they are going to continue to do. They're just going to continue to do it in other groups, with other groups, because of the LGBTQ organizations protesting Chick-fil-A giving money to Christian organizations. Now, Chick-fil-A is either a Christian company or it is not. They either support Christian organizations or they do not. This is the GLAAD spokesman, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation or whatever. If Chick-fil-A is serious about their pledge to stop holding hands with divisive anti-LGBTQ activists, then further transparency is needed regarding their deep ties to organizations like Focus on the Family, which exist purely to harm LGBTQ people and families, said Drew Anderson, GLAAD's Director of Campaigns and Rapid Response, on Monday. You will never, ever be woke enough. You will never, ever placate the liberal mob. They might tone it down a little bit. In the case of Chick-fil-A, they won't, because they fundraise off of Chick-fil-A. It's all those evil, ewy, gewy, yucky Christians out there being all Christian-y and all of that. But if Chick-fil-A thought that these lunatics who want to see their destruction would go, oh, all right, job well done, now let's go get some chicken, that's never going to happen. They will never stop, because it's not that they disagree with you, Chick-fil-A. It's you exist wrong. And the fact that you exist as you are is wrong to them. You are a Christian company that acts in a Christian way. And unless and until you stop doing that, change who you are fundamentally, or you are destroyed. Either one is fine, although the destruction is more preferred. Until then, they will never let you go. Watch it. As for me, I no longer have to spite eat Chick-fil-A. I won't be going to Chick-fil-A. I wasn't a major consumer. They're good. You put a pile of them for free in front of me, I might eat one. But I won't cross the road. Why did the Chick-fil-A guy cross the road? To get away from the Chick-fil-A, because I'm done with them. Any company that caves to the liberal mob sets a horrible precedent, emboldens them, and sets them off on their next crusade for their next scalp. So congratulations, Chick-fil-A. You had a good run. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out for you, because the customers you lose will not be made up for by the customers you tried to placate. The mob will never come in, not even to use your, well, maybe to use your bathroom, but most likely to smoke drugs in there. It's sad to see this happen. It's sad to see them go. I thought they were holding out. I thought they were more principled than this, but apparently they are not. Speaking of smoking drugs, well, actually, no, I want to touch on this really quickly. We'll get to Kamala Harris and Stacey Abrams in a second. I don't know that they're smoking drugs, but it would explain a lot, if we're being honest. This story from Reuters shows why we need massive tort reform, why we need to change our civil court system to a loser pay system. We really do. It's stuff like this that makes things more expensive, that makes life more difficult. The Reuters story, Burger King was sued on Monday by a vegan customer who accused the fast food chain of contaminating its meatless Impossible Whoppers by cooking them on the same grill as its traditional meat burgers. In a proposed class action suit, again, this guy, Philip Williams, has too much time on his hands and probably does this for a living or is involved in something. Philip Williams said he bought an Impossible Whopper, a plant-based alternative to Burger King's regular Whopper, at an Atlanta drive-thru and would not have paid a premium price had he known the cooking would leave it, quote, coated by meat byproducts, end quote. And there's a lot of jokes there that would be horribly politically incorrect about my suspicions of somebody eating meat byproducts, but never mind, especially vegans. The lawsuit filed in Miami federal court, again, an Atlanta drive-thru, Miami federal court. Why is that? Did he decide to go on a 1,000-mile drive after being so offended at the possibility of his bean burger being contaminated by meat? We'll just never know. Of course, it's the shyster lawyers. The lawsuit filed in Miami federal court seeks damages for all U.S. purchasers of the Impossible Whopper and an injunction requiring Burger King to plainly disclose that Impossible Whoppers and regular burgers are cooked on the same grill. Burger King declined to comment, saying it does not discuss pending litigation. Its website describes the Impossible Burger as blah, 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 blah. And it said a non-broiler method is available upon request for preparation. Williams' lawyer did not immediately respond to a request for comment on the disclaimer or the available cooking options. And the story goes on from there, but you get the gist of it. You understand how this racket works. Client, lawyer, probably lawyer first, then client, if I had to guess, but I don't know for sure. They concoct a scheme. Let's get a lawsuit going. Let's propose it be a class action lawsuit. Let's get this underway. We sign up other people with class action lawsuits. They are one of the biggest scams. They set out to be very important, and they have been abused beyond belief. And now they're to the point that you have to actually opt out to not be considered part of a class action lawsuit. The lawyers will see if there is a settlement, and given how stupid juries are and how freely they hand out giant judgments against corporations, because corporations are evil, more likely people are stupid, the lawyers stand to make a fortune. They'll get 30% or whatever of the total settlement. Let's just say that Burger King loses and loses and loses. It could take years, and they end up with a $100 million victory for everybody who's ever eaten one of these god-awful hockey pucks. Well, the lawyers get a third of that right off the top. I'm sure they found other ways to scam it, too. And the so-called aggrieved people, the vegans out there who may well have unknowingly eaten something that was cooked next to beef and thereby been contaminated by beef byproducts. meat by. I want to make all the jokes in my head. I just really can't. I wish I could. I mean, I could, but it just wouldn't go over very well. You can make them. I've set it up enough that if you can't connect those dots, you probably wouldn't get the jokes in the first place. But the so-called clients, the victims, will get what they usually get. A couple of coupons for some free Whoppers. A couple of coupons. Oh, if you buy a large drink, you get a large fry on us. There's your settlement. There is now the original client, I'm sure, who totally speculation, but was in cahoots with the lawyer, will get a nice chunk of the settlement, too. They concoct this scheme. You agree to be the front person. You got to get a bigger taste of the back end. That's just business. That's how it works. So this is a case of why we need loser pays. The consequence for filing this lawsuit, should it be tossed out, and it should be tossed out, but should it be tossed out at any stage, it should be tossed out immediately, it should be summary judgment with prejudice so it can't be refiled, just toss it out. The consequence for the lawyer and the client will be nothing. There will be none. Now, occasionally a judge, if it's so egregious, they can impose legal fees, but those are so rarely paid. But if you have a system of loser pays, where the lawyer is also on the hook, not just the person filing the suit, that changes the dynamic greatly. If you're going to file a lawsuit as an individual, you could feel as aggrieved as you possibly could. Maybe, just maybe, this guy was driving out of Atlanta with his Impossible Burger and then struck like a bolt of lightning with the prospect that there could be meat byproducts microscopically on his meatless hamburger, and his vegan world came crashing to a halt, so much so that he set the car on cruise control, climbed into the back seat, and found himself waking up the next day in Miami. That's probably unlikely, but it's possible. So if that person decides in an honest way and not in a scam, I think we can make some money off of this way, to file a lawsuit and goes and meets with a lawyer, an honest, ethical, decent lawyer would say, you're kidding me, right? I'm not going to file this case. It is without merit. It is ridiculous. And I suggest you get over yourself. I'm not going to file this case. Unfortunately, we have more lawyers in this country than we have ethical lawyers by a rather large factor. So you see, this lawyer then files the case. It being so egregious, a judge could look at it and say, or lose the case. They lose the case, as they should, if there's anything resembling justice left in this country. They lose the case, and in a loser pays system, the defendant would be on the hook for the legal fees for Burger King, which would be quite substantial. But again, he can file a lawsuit all he wants. But I would suggest we take it a step further and add the lawyer that filed the case, not because they lost. I would suggest that there be a panel of legal experts in a blind setting where they do not get the names of the people involved and their names are not known, who look at the facts of the case, look at the filings of the case, and they determine whether or not there was a reasonable expectation of collecting, of being found in the favor of the court, of winning this case, or whether or not it was a nuisance lawsuit. And if they agree that it was a nuisance lawsuit, then not only should the defendant be on the hook for the legal fees, but the lawyer should be as well, because the lawyer should have been the one who the defendant comes to, and they should tell him, look, you don't have a case. Get over it, all right? Be an adult. You're an adult, right? Grow the hell up and get out of my office. That's what a self-respecting lawyer who has ethics would tell these people. But those don't really exist. So loser pays needs to involve the lawyers to stop these lawsuits from being filed in the first place. Until then, we just have to get used to ridiculous warning labels on everything. You know, I don't know if this is true or not. It could be an old wives' tale, but if you've ever cut a lawn recently on a non-riding mower, you know, they have that handle that you have to be holding while the lawnmower is running to engage the blade, right? They're everywhere. You can't escape them. They're legally required. Now, why? If you look at some of the older models, I don't know, I haven't seen a new model lawnmower in a while, but some of the older models used to have little warning labels on them for defending against really stupid people not knowing how to pull start a lawnmower or something like that and doing it in a really dumbass kind of way. One of them was do not pick up the lawnmower by the deck while it's on. Why? Because the blades are spinning and it'll cut your fingers off. The story that I heard growing up was that somebody, in fact, did do that, that they were trying to trim their hedges and picked up their lawnmower to try and use it to trim their hedges and, shock of all shocks, cut off a bunch of their fingers and sued and won. Again, I don't know if this is true. It's not worth doing. It's more an example of how stupid this crap is than anything else. So ever since then, these warning labels, these obvious warning labels, coupled with this new device on there that disengages the blade the second you let go of it, is not really out there to keep normal people safe. It's out there to protect stupid people from themselves, and more importantly, to protect the lawnmower companies. Is Toro still a thing? I don't know. To protect lawnmower manufacturers from more stupid lawsuits brought by stupid people doing stupid things. Everybody remembers the McDonald's lawsuit. The woman, oh, the hot coffee, it burned my crotch. Yeah, coffee's hot. Film at 11. What the hell did you think was going to happen? That's the kind of stuff that loser pays would get rid of. All right, speaking of loser pays, so many losers, so little pay. Kamala Harris is kind of paying. She's a senator from California and a soon-to-be failed, also ran in the race to win the Democratic Party's nomination for president in the year 2020. She has now come out in full favor of legalizing marijuana. She wants it on every street corner. She wants that money. She wants that power. She's trying, what she's really trying to do is make up for having spent years as a prosecutor and having put drug offenders in prison, because now drug offenders are the preferred class of the Democratic Party. They rank right up there with illegal aliens when it comes to pandering. If you are a drug dealer, it doesn't matter what drug you're selling, if you were selling fentanyl, gobs of fentanyl by the handful to unsuspecting drug users, and they were dropping dead left and right, you are a hero to the Democratic Party because you are a victim of a racist system that throws the book at drug offenders. Don't take my word for it. Take Kamala's. Here she is the other day talking about why legalization of marijuana is so damned important.
We need sentencing reform. We need to legalize marijuana. We need to, and I will tell you on the legalization of marijuana piece, I'm really clear about this. It has been such a big part, the criminalization of marijuana has been such a big part of what has fueled America's system of mass incarceration. And it's got to end.
I like the phony righteous indignation from somebody who has put people in prison for marijuana offenses. You know, it's got to end. It's got to end. This systemic putting of people. So it's mass incarceration. It's always mass incarceration with these mass holes. Mass incarceration, this mass incarceration, that. It's never, we have a problem with people breaking the law, right? It's the law isn't working, so we must change the law. Now, there's a logical case that could be made for that, but the logic kind of falls apart if you take it up a notch. Murder is illegal, yet murders still happen. Murder, there are a lot of people in prison for murder. So clearly this hasn't worked. Perhaps we should end the war on murder. Perhaps we need to be a little bit more compassionate. Our murder laws are not working. Perhaps we should try decriminalizing murder in some places. We kind of have, and if you look at the conviction rates in places like Baltimore and Chicago, we've kind of decriminalized murder. But again, it starts to fall apart. The problem is the people murdering. The problem is not the people being murdered or the society is forcing them to murder. That's not the case at all. The problem with drug dealers and drug possession is it is illegal, yet people do it. And they do it knowing this. Nobody's surprised. You know, nobody's like, wait a second, officer. Are you trying to tell me that I'm not allowed to shoot up heroin? That I'm not allowed to traffic in cocaine and marijuana? What? Since when? That's not the America I know. No. You knowingly break the law. I will confess that I, as a younger lad, had indulged in marijuana use and marijuana purchase. Never marijuana sale. I couldn't afford to buy enough to sell it. But I knew every single time I went to purchase marijuana and every single time that I had marijuana in my possession, either on my physical body or somewhere hidden in my room, I knew that I was breaking the law. There was no ambiguity about it. It didn't sneak up on me. The choice was before me. Do I break the law and risk getting caught, or do I obey the law and do without? I often chose to willingly, knowingly break the law, plain and simple. I knew that if I'd been caught, there would be consequences. There would be negative consequences in addition to my parents wringing my neck, but I did it anyway. I should not be granted an excuse and a pass just because you don't like the law. Oh, well, it shouldn't have to be punished. It should be legal. No. I mean, you want to make it legal, that's one thing. But I disagree with that. Until you can tell me if somebody's high at the moment and driving a car, I don't really want somebody out there driving a car while they could be high, or they could get arrested for being high while driving a car, and it just so happened that they were high the day before, and it's still in their system. It still shows up on blood tests. That's what I would like to deal with before we bother with any of this legalization crap. But the idea that somehow the problem is the law and not the people breaking the law is where you lose me. It's where all of this loses me. All these poor, sweet, nourishing people. Plus, and I've talked about this really quickly, a lot of these drug offenders that are nonviolent drug offenders are actually violent drug offenders, but the nonviolent charges were dropped in exchange for a plea deal and short amount of time on the drug charges just to get it off the books. And suddenly a guy who was caught after pistol whipping a couple of people and all these other problems, are caught with an illegal firearm or something like that, is immediately then reclassified as a nonviolent drug offender. It's a scam that people like Kamala Harris and every Democrat running for office don't want to talk about. But it is the case. So she wants to legalize weed, but she wasn't done because on top of it, she wants to tax it. So really, the real reason doesn't have anything to do with her concerns about mass incarceration. The real reason for Kamala Harris's desire to legalize marijuana is she wants the money.
And so here in Nevada, you know that you've passed a law in California. We did the same thing. But we need to have on a federal level, decriminalize and legalize marijuana. And then my agenda on that doesn't end there. Because I'm also clear that there are thousands of, in particular young men, but young women also, who have been designated felons for life. And now because our states have legalized it, it is one of the biggest cash cows as a new industry. People are making so much money off of this. For doing what? Selling weed. Meanwhile, these young men and women were doing the same thing and have been designated felons for life. So part of my agenda is what we need to do in terms of dealing with their convictions and expungement and all of that, but also about saying through federal policy that they also need to be first in line for the jobs and the tracks that are about running those businesses.
Yeah, not only do you got to let the drug dealers out of jail, you've got to give them first crack. Is that the right word? First crack at owning these businesses. Forget the law abiding. You suckers. You law abiding suckers. The thing is, they broke the law. They broke the law. They willingly and knowingly broke the law unambiguously. And now Kamala Harris's plan, if you can call it a plan, is to reward that law breaking. Yay, law breaking. Good job. Congratulations. Yay, law breaking. Here is a license to operate a business. You can't make this stuff up. There's pandering, and then there's this level of pandering that goes beyond. It is Olympic level pandering. It's funny coming from Kamala Harris with her prosecutorial background, but it's also sad that any human being would have to sink to this level, that a party has actually sunk to this level, that a human being would have to sink to this level. And you can see now why you are currently polling even with Kamala Harris in New Hampshire and soon probably Iowa, because she is just not. She's not a good candidate. She's not an honest person. She doesn't seem like a particularly good person. It just seems like a desperate move by a desperate human being. So be it. Let it go. She's not going anywhere. Speaking of not going anywhere, Stacey Abrams was the failed. Democrats love political losers. It's amazing. They should be clamoring to lose elections in the Democratic Party, because you then get to start organizations and get cable news organizations that will pay you a ton of money and give you control over a ton of money. And you'll get cable news contributor contracts in the case of Andrew Gillum of running for governor of Florida and failing there. You just get showered with accolades. Beto O'Rourke lived the last year off of his losing the race against Ted Cruz. He ran for a while. He got to see the whole country on other people's money. Even though he's filthy rich, they were throwing millions of dollars at him because they wanted him to be president of the United States for no particular reason. And the more they got to know him, they said, ew, I gave money to that. Stacey Abrams is no different. She's got a group out there that's trying to get rid of the Electoral College, that's trying to work on gerrymandering, that's whatever you give them money for. She says she'll work on it, and she'll hammer big fat checks and become wealthy on her own, all while working for and running a nonprofit. Politics is a racket. Well, she was at the National Press Club on Friday, and she was asked about the Electoral College. And she gets everything exactly wrong.
Is the time for the Electoral College passed?
Yes. Electoral College is racist and classist. We have to remember the Electoral College was not designed because people were worried about Idaho not having enough votes. We didn't know about Idaho. What we did know, we didn't. But what we did know was that in the South, the populations in the South had equal or roughly equal populations to the North. However, because Black people were not considered human or citizens, they wanted their bodies to count for the purposes of the population count, but not their humanity. And the Electoral College was designed to give Southern states the ability to count the bodies of slaves, but not have to allow them to cast votes. And thus the Electoral College was born as a compromise. The other challenge was that in the North, a lot of them didn't want immigrants making decisions, and they didn't believe that immigrants and that those who were not considered well-educated should be making decisions about who the executive of our nation should be. So it was a combination of racism and classism. Both of those things should be flung to the far reaches of history, and the Electoral College needs to go.
She's dumb to the point that it hurts. The Electoral College had nothing to do with race. The Electoral College had to do with smaller states not wanting to be ruled by the more populous states back at the founding of our country. Without the Electoral College system, without then, of course, the Senate and the House of Representatives and the House apportionment of membership, there would be no country in the first place. That was why it had nothing to do with we need to keep black people down. It had nothing to do with that whatsoever. In fact, the South was trying to say that we want to count our slaves, but we don't want them to have any rights. And the North said, no, you don't get to count your slaves. No way are we going to be ruled by the South. That's where the Three-Fifths Compromise came in. You can do more research on that for yourself. But the idea that they don't consider us a full person in the Constitution, that's crap. Actually, the anti-slave North did that to water down the influence of the South. Otherwise, there would be no country in the first place, which, of course, is what the left is really working toward now. So, you know, they probably would have supported it back then. But it's absurd. And as far as immigrants coming into this country, this is the first time I've heard this one. Immigrants coming into the North and all those rich whiteys, they didn't want those dirty immigrants having a say. No, the immigrants were still pouring into this country. They had to be citizens to vote. So right off the boat, they were not citizens. They would not have been able to vote and would not have influenced anything. But the apportionment of votes in the Electoral College are dependent upon the number of votes that you have in the House of in Congress. That's where it comes from. Again, the non-citizens weren't supposed to count. Non-citizens weren't supposed to be a part of that. Yet Stacey Abrams doesn't find that particularly historically convenient or historically relevant, and she doesn't want people to know about it. So she just throws around buzzwords like, oh, it's anti-immigrant, the Electoral College, and it's also racist. It is nothing of the sort on either count. But when you aren't held to account, when you're allowed to go around for well over a year and claim that you actually won an election, you lost by more than 50,000 votes, and nobody challenges you, you are treated as a conquering hero everywhere and have millions of dollars thrown at you so that you can go out there and, I don't know, whatever Jabba the Hutt does, be the face of the Democratic Party and be considered on the shortlist for vice president. For all these candidates, facts don't matter. You can say whatever you want, but history matters. And we're watching it, Democrats try to rewrite it every single day, every single hour, on every single issue. Why? Because the truth doesn't serve their purposes. And if the truth doesn't serve their purposes, that should tell you something about them, shouldn't it? Anyway, we are out of time for today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. I'm sure I got a lot of stuff wrong doing this off the top of my head. I don't have script writers like some people do, or a sounding board as other people need. I never understood why somebody needed co-hosts. I just don't get it. You can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com, all your complaints and whatever. Otherwise, we'll be back here tomorrow for we'll recap whatever, if anything, manages to happen at week two of the impeachment hearings. See you then.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...